thing. People.
To visit the Lancaster family at their home was to get just a taste of how life can be for people looking after a severely disabled child. Lennon was born 10 years ago with no ability to swallow, without a proper digestive system, and with limited hearing and vision. His parents have had to give him non-stop attention, fluids placed in a drip to feed him, and they need to check and remove the human waste which Lennon expels into a bag. At their home near Stevenage, Lennon's mother, Nikki, described to me how she went to bed at 10 o'clock each evening, but set her alarm to go off every 2 hours through the night, so she could get up and give Lennon his various treatments.
He has to have a growth hormone injection at midnight. He has to have a steroid and some other medications. 2 in the morning, we then come down again and empty out the ileostomy bag and the gastrostomy bag. Depending on what the weather's like, if it's hot, we may give him an extra flush of fluid. Same thing at 4 o'clock in the morning, and same thing at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then we're back to hourly. Some days are a blur, aren't they? Like, some days you'll get up in the morning and you won't feel like you've had any sleep at all.
The Lancasters have been getting a brief break from this routine. Once a month, Lennon would go and stay for the weekend at a nearby respite centre, Nascot Lawn. It gave the family the chance to sleep through the night for 2 nights, and they told me to give just a little more attention to their other 2 children. But now, Nikki and her husband Ian have been told that Nascot Lawn is to close. The NHS will no longer fund it.
The news that the centre could be closing, was pretty devastated. Having that centre like keeps you going, really. It's something I used to always look forward to a little bit because I knew it was a chance to recover. We build towards that every month. We look forward to this date coming. When is he going to stay at Nascot? Without it, we feel like we would struggle to cope.
When you look at the Nascot Lawn Centre, it's just a regular two-storey building a few miles from the centre of Watford. Now, we can't actually go into the building. Staff there have been told not to speak to the media. They've issued a statement, though, saying they are deeply disappointed that the centre has to close. But I have got with me Ellen, who worked at Nascot Lawn Respite Centre for more than 20 years and ended up as the deputy manager there. Ellen, why for you is the Nascot Lawn Respite Centre so important?
Nascot Lawn makes such a difference to the parents because even if it's just 1 weekend a month, they have a night's sleep, a proper night's sleep, so that then they are able to continue to care for their children at home. Quite often we would hear some families say if it wasn't for Nascot Lawn, one particular parent did say if there was a cliff, I would just walk off the cliff because they need that respite to be able to continue caring for their child.
Nascot Lawn has until now been funded by the local clinical commissioning group, known as CCGs. These are the collectives of general practitioners who decide what facilities to support in their area. In the case of Nascot Lawn, the CCG responsible, Hearts Valleys, has said that respite centres are really something the local council should pay for. Although the CCG has paid for the centre until now, cutbacks mean they want the council to take over. And this kind of attempt to shift the burden is increasingly common across the country, according to Dave West, a specialist writer on CCGs for the Health Service Journal.
Because budgets on both sides of the NHS and local government are under huge pressure, particularly local government, there are increasing numbers of kind of boundary budget disputes of this kind between the NHS and local government in some areas. CCGs are saying we are not legally required to fund this service. And it's a particular issue, I think, between the healthcare system and the local authorities and the care system at the moment, this problem of people perhaps feeling they're falling between the gaps of 2 separate funding and legal systems.
Hearts Valley CCG invited me to their main office to explain their predicament as they see it. They can't talk about Nascot Lawn itself because some parents who use the facilities are engaged in legal action, which the CCG says it doesn't want to forestall. But the CCG's chairman, Nicholas Small, wanted to give me some idea of the kind of pressure they're under. Not wanting to make any cutbacks, he says, but not able to avoid them.
I went into this role as a GP, as a doctor, wanting to make the best decisions that we can, but these are sobering times. We are looking at savings of up to £550 million in the forthcoming years. And I think the decisions that we're having to make at the moment are decisions that other CCGs up and down the country will face.
For as long as I've been covering health issues, I've heard doctors and other medical professionals tell me they don't have enough money to do the job they want to do. I mean, this is a constant. Is it really a new situation we're in now?
I think that on the ground, as a GP, this is the most challenging time that I have faced. I have to stay in budget. So it's tough.
Following discussions between the two sides, Harts Valley CCG and Hertfordshire County Council have now agreed to share the cost of keeping Nascot Lawn open, but only until next January. After that, they say, there is no funding available. I phoned up Nikki Lancaster to talk about this development, only to get some worse news. Lennon, her 10-year-old son, had died since we met. It was sudden, they told me. They're still getting used to the idea. And I found myself thinking of something Nikki Lancaster had said right at the end of our original conversation. She was worried that she'd only talked about the challenges of raising her son.
I am aware that I do come across as maybe sounding a little bit harsh and that we want to get rid of Len and put him into Nascot Lawn one weekend a month. But I hate leaving him there. It upsets me that we have to do this. I'm a very family orientated person. I like to have my family around. I like to have my children around. We do really love Len, and we've kept him alive for the last 10 years, and I would do anything for this child.